And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry out to him night and day? Will he delay long over them? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. When is the last time that you went to either the movie theaters or turned on Netflix or Hulu or whatever to watch a film about a plumber or a carpenter? And guess what? Films about Jesus don't count because, yes, you've all seen films about carpenters. But there is a whole genre or subdivision, not just of films, but even of TV shows about going to judges and asking for justice. I mean, you've got Law and Order, Law and Order Special Victims Unit. You have A Few Good Men. We have this obsession with a whole genre of that one profession. But why do we have a genre about that profession, but not one about plumbers or street sweepers? There's something about justice that is at the heart of the human experience. And Jesus, in this parable, is telling us something about prayer. He's telling us something about justice. Paul, when he writes Timothy, is telling him to persevere in the way that he was brought up, to continue in steadfastness. Our colleague for today asks us to stay steadfast. So as we unpack this parable from Jesus, there's three things that we can learn about prayer, or a specific type of prayer, the petitionary prayer. First of all, a petitionary prayer has a request. There's a petition. The second thing is that it's persistent. And then finally, in petitionary prayer, there is a pronouncement. What do I mean by that? There is a petition. Jesus tells this parable, this story, of a widow. And what many of us don't realize is that in the first century law was slightly different than American jurisprudence. Their legal system was different. They didn't have police like you and I have today. Now, you may read in the ESV or the NRSV in the book of Acts how the police brought Paul to the authorities, but there is no word in Koine Greek for police. There was no separation between this is the army and this is the police. Police, in that sense, are a 15th century European invention. So if you wanted justice, you didn't call 911 and ask the police to come and help you out. You had to do it for yourself. And you would go to the local judge and you would bring your complaint. You'd have the plaintiff and you would have the defendant. And then you would argue the case out and then the judge would rule. In this case, this widow goes to a judge. Turns out that, similar to many developing worlds, justice isn't always blind. Lady Justice doesn't wear her veil. She has some partiality. And that's what Jesus is telling us. There is an unjust judge, someone who's not ruling with justice or equity. And in that, the widow comes and says, I would like justice. And what does the judge say? Not today. Thank you very much. So what does she do? She comes back the next day. She says, I want justice. And what does the judge say? Not today either. And she keeps doing it. So she comes with a petition. We don't know what the petition is, but she clearly feels that something wrong has happened in her life, and she needs redress. Petitionary prayer is where we come with requests to God. Now, there's a variety of types of prayer. There's petitionary prayer. There's prayers of imploration, there's prayers of adoration, there's prayers of thanksgiving. But today we're looking specifically at petitionary prayer, where you're asking something of God. And a way that I like to talk about petitionary prayer is to think about when you pull up to an intersection that has a stoplight. The stoplight often has, unless you're in a different country than this one, it has three colors: red, yellow, and green. So sometimes you'll ask God for something and he says, red light, no to your petition. Then other times, you'll come and ask God and he will give you a complete green light. It's a yes. And then other times, you get that yellow light, that wait. And waiting isn't fun. But in this one, what Jesus is telling us as his disciples is to come to God when you get that yellow light and to keep asking, to be persistent. I have two daughters. I have a almost 16-year-old daughter and an almost 6-year-old daughter. And my 6-year-old daughter has this little propensity to bring us to our second point which is persistence. What she'll do is she will come and say, "Dad, can I watch Netflix?" I'll say, "No." And then she'll come about 30 seconds later, "Dad, can I watch Netflix?" And I'll say, "No." And she'll keep doing it and nag until I'm just like, "You know what? Just turn it on. Just leave me alone. Stop bothering me. Maybe you'll stop asking." Or she might try the other one, like she'll come to me and I say no, and then she'll go to mom, hoping that we haven't talked. "Hey, mom, can I have a cookie?" And then she'll say, "Well, what did dad say?" But the point of a yellow light is that sometimes it's not that God says no, is that it's not right at this particular moment, and so he's wanting us to wait, either because he's granting something greater in saying wait right now than granting it in the here and now. In persistence, God tells us to come with him, come to him with boldness. This widow, what you have to realize is that by calling this plaintiff a widow, it tells us a lot about the first century. Widows in those days, you see, I think a lot of us either have 401ks or IRAs, or if you've worked 10 years, you've got your credits with Social Security, you have a Social Security net. So if anything happens to you, you have some sort of redress. But in first century Israel, there was no Social Security net. Your Social Security net was your family. If you didn't have a husband, you didn't have a Social Security net. And if you were widowed and then your kids died, you definitely did not have a Social Security net. So she is not a person of power. She is not a person of influence. And she doesn't even have a buddy with strong connections that can, you know, say, "Can you go and strong arm the judge to giving me what I want?" She doesn't have that. She doesn't have a strong connections, strong influence. She doesn't have money to go and do as they would say. If you look at some American corporations that go to the developing world, on their line item budget, you'll see this little line that says key money, which is, as you know, code for unlocking doors. You will go to a judge and you'll pay some key money and then you get your permit or you'll get your ruling that you need. She doesn't have key money to come to this unjust judge and say, "I really want you to grant me justice. Here's some key money. Can you rule in my favor?" But she comes. The only thing she has is persistence. And she comes time after time after time after time again. And the judge says, "I'm going to give it to her just because she's so annoying." In fact, what I love about this, it says, our translation says, I'll grant it to her because she will beat me down, right? Literally, the literal Greek word says, "I'm going to give it to her because she's giving me a black eye." That's what it literally says. She's so annoying, it popped blood vessels in my eyes. She's beat me down and I'm just going to give. I actually don't care about justice, but just so she leaves me alone, I'll do that. She comes with what we would call chutzpah. Anyone familiar with chutzpah? It's a beautiful Yiddish term. But you may not know what chutzpah is, but let me illustrate it to you this way. Chutzpah is someone murdering their parents and then going to the judge and saying, "Your Honor, I ask for clemency on the fact that I'm an orphan." That's chutzpah. That's boldness, if you will. This widow has chutzpah, coming before the Lord and making this bold, this unjust judge. And then what Jesus does here, he's doing a law technique, or if you've taken logic classes in university, which is called, it's called if so, if it's true in this smaller extent, then how much more in this greater one? Jesus does this in other places in the gospel. He says, if you as bad parents know how to give good gifts, then how much more will your Father in heaven, who is good, give you the Holy Spirit when you ask? Or you can find it also in non-biblical writings like part of the Mishnah in Tosefta 9. It says this. The Jewish scholars put it this way. They say, silence becomes scholars and even more for fools. So if silence becomes scholars, then how much more does that become people that are foolish? Jesus is saying this. If an unjust judge is willing to grant petitions, how much more will the just judge of all the earth do what is right? I mean, isn't that the chutzpah that Abraham has when he has the three visitors come to him in chapter 18 of Genesis? And he starts arguing with God and almost bartering. And finally he says, "Okay, why don't you give me my request, but will not the just judge of all the earth do what is right?" He's persistent. Be persistent. Be bold. But how do we get this boldness? And let me tell you this about the boldness. The boldness comes from the final point, the pronouncement, that vindication that this widow is asking for, the vindication that we are asking for in prayer. As the great theologian Sylvester Stallone put it in Rocky I, when Talia Schreier, who's playing his wife, comes up to him, she says, "Why do you have to fight Apollo Creed?" And he says, "I have to go the distance to prove I'm not a bum." He's driven because he needs this pronouncement over his life. He needs someone to say over him, "I'm not a bum." We are all looking for a pronouncement. I remember when I was about 10 years old, I came back from Spain to the U.S. on my parents' furlough from the mission field, and I'd never been to Florida, but my dad brought me down here to go visit my aunt who's over in Pinellas County in Dade City, and we dressed up. My parents made all of us four brothers. We all looked like quadruplets except for or mini-me's, all wearing our little stripy sweaters with little ties and khakis because we were going to go into a courtroom to see the Honorable Judge Lynn Tepper. And we walk in there and you see the plaintiff and you see the defendant and they're all arguing their cases. And you don't just have the plaintiff and the defendant, you also have their advocates, their lawyers arguing and pleading their case for them. And at the end of it, the judge is then going to pronounce a verdict. Guilty or not guilty. And your advocate might put together all the preponderance of evidence they can. If it's a civil case. If it's a criminal case, it'll be beyond reasonable doubt. And they're going to be persistent with what they're bringing forward, that advocate. The widow did not have an advocate. But how much more do you and I have an advocate? In fact, this is what John the Apostle says in 1 John. He says this. He says, "If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world." Do you see the chutzpah that you get if you know that the advocate that is arguing on your behalf is Jesus Christ the righteous? It means you can ask anything. You can ask outrageous things that are in accordance with God's will, and you can do it with boldness. There's a little phrase that we say every Sunday in communion. And we say, "And now as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say." We say this with chutzpah. But too often we just say those as rote words and it just washes over us. There's a boldness to our petition. There's a boldness to our persistence because of the pronouncement. And why is there that pronouncement? Because the just judge was judged in our stead. On the cross, Jesus Christ the righteous died for the unrighteous. 1 John 1, 5 through 10 tells us this. And I always thought that it was, I always read it from when I was a little kid, and I misunderstood the passage. It says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And I used to think what it meant, faithful and just, that was that, okay, well, you know, Jesus up there in heaven, Jesus is faithful and righteous, and God the Father is sitting there, as the judge, and our advocate is standing there. He goes, "You know, Peter, look at him. He's a bit of a bonehead. He did some really dumb stuff. In fact, he did some sinful stuff. But could you be merciful to him?" But that's not what 1 John says. It says he is faithful and just. In fact, the best lawyer in the world is standing before the Father and he says, "Here's the deal. You know, in America, they got that thing called double jeopardy. We got this thing called cosmic double jeopardy, Father. And what I mean by this is that, Father, I on the cross paid the penalty for Jules. And so it's actually unjust for you to hold Jules to account for something that I have paid for. That's double jeopardy. It doesn't work that way. In fact, because you are faithful and just, not faithful and merciful, faithful and just, the only just thing is to make that pronouncement." And here's the thing about our American justice system. You walk in and the Honorable Judge Lynn Tepper might say, "Guilty or not guilty." But you will never get a judge here on earth that will ever make the pronouncement over you, innocent. It's not possible. But the just judge of all the universe will make the pronouncement over you, innocent. Because when God the Father looks at you, he sees what Jesus has done for you. Innocent. There's that pronouncement that we are looking for. And I don't know what petitions you're coming before the Lord for. Perhaps, you know, you might hit financial struggles, or perhaps you might have a need for reconciliation, and you've been praying for a long time for this reconciliation with a family member, or maybe with that next door neighbor that goes over your property line. Or maybe it's prayers for someone in your family or friend that needs a breakthrough with health issues. Come to God with your petitions. And as one of the hymn writers puts it, thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his power and might are such that none can dare to ask too much. And because you know that you have an advocate in heaven who is for you, you can come with that chutzpah, with that boldness. And you can hear whether it's a red light or a yellow light or a green light, but you can come and have that beautiful pronouncement from the Father. Let me end with a quote from Bishop J.C. Ryle, who was the first bishop of Liverpool back in the mid-1800s over in England. And he put it this way about that pronouncement that we get. He says, assurance goes far to set a child of God free. It enables them to feel that the great business of life is the settled business, the great debt, the debt of sin, a paid debt, the great disease, the healed disease, and the great work is his finished work. And therefore, all other business, disease, debts, and works are therefore in comparison small. So today, because you have that assurance, may you have the chutzpah to have that persistence coming before the Lord, knowing that he's not an unjust judge. And he's not even just a just judge. He is your Father who loves you. So, Father, we thank you that today Christ has taught us to come with confidence, with boldness before you, and to make our requests known, knowing that you are a good Father and you have good gifts for your people. And we thank you for all this in Christ's strong name. Amen.